Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Tommy, Hector, and Larita podcast. We'd like to let you know that we have an extra bonus subscriber only episode that's available now every Monday. If you go to thlpod.com or Acast Plus, you can find out how to subscribe.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Welcome, everybody, to the saddest podcast in the world. Feeling low today is Rita Blewett from the proud parish of Knockmore in the barony of Ballina in the county of Mayo. But first, before we get stuck into that, the name of this week's episode is T.R. Dallas Adair. And that comes in from... Brilliant. This fella's name is even as good as the fucking title of the podcast. It's sent in by Plunkett McGartland.
Which is very good, Plunkett.
I'd say Plunkett might be living in the six counties.
Come on, Plunkett, where are you?
Plunkett
McGartland. What a magnificent
name. What's his surname?
That's not an Athlone name, anyway. Plunkett McGartland.
Some name if you're signing on a checkbook.
No, that's a fucking...
Plunkett McGartland.
That's
pure Tyrone.
That's Tyrone.
That's a mighty Tyrone. There are some mighty surnames
of all
up there.
Of all the counties, you didn't have to pick him today, did you?
I went for the name of the show first.
Well, that's true.
I think it is the job of this podcast over the next 12 months to make it our personal business to fucking get Mayo across the line in 12 months' time. And I think the way we do that, Larita, I have a fucking plan.
I'd love to hear.
There's too many soft cunts in it.
Right.
Bad, hard bastards.
How do you make them bad?
We only recruit men who've been to prison for GBH.
Right.
Or that are in the army.
Okay. Yeah.
When every man signs up for the squad, he lets go of his name for the 12 months and he just turns into a number.
Right.
So there's no personality. It's all just
numbers.
Just yes. Job. It's tough bastards. It's fellas with scars. You can teach them how to play football, but you can't teach toughness.
Yeah. Men with backgrounds.
And the Mayo boys, they're fine boys, but you might as well get a team of fucking postmen to be playing for you for all the danger that's in them.
Right.
And I would like...
We have a few there that's a bit living on the edge.
You need O'Hara. There's a few of them, but you need 15 of them.
Well, hang on. I wouldn't say you need 15, but I think for every Ryan Giggs, you need a Roy Keane or a Steve Bruce.
Yes.
Yeah. For every Bernard Flynn, you need a Tommy Dowd.
Or a Mick Lyons.
Right.
So you can have your fairy footballers, so but you need rocks behind them.
So you need five lads that are fancy and you need 10 lads that are tough.
Well, I'm not sure about that, but I would say for those of you who aren't familiar with the Gaelic games, there's six boys theoretically to play in the forward lines.
Mm. Yes.
Okay. What I would do is I would get four, the two boys in the left and the two boys in the right. And their job is to do nothing but pop fucking balls over the bar.
Yes.
All their training consists of is catching, turning and popping. What was remarkable about the Tyrone boys was that there was three of them anyway who could off the left or the right just pop.
Score at ease.
And they were beautiful, beautiful points.
Yeah.
And then we get two boys, the centre half forward and the full forward. Their job is nothing but goals.
Goals.
A nailing lads.
Goals. Golden goal. Goals. Goals win games.
Goals win raffles.
Yes.
So that's what we'll do.
That's great.
So that's the plan. So from today onwards is the
tough
day.
Now, how do you find these tough men? Yeah. Where are they?
They exist.
They're signing on. That you contact the guards.
Yes. See who's been released from prison that
the
year.
Guards.
Anyone who's come back from America with a big criminal record.
Or a scar.
Yes. Who used to play a ga and he's back now. Right. I don't know.
We can do is also we head into the mountains. There's bound to be some tough men
above,
up the mountains.
Above and Neffin and all that.
There's loads of wildness out around, you know.
Hondo! You need men that come out and go into trenches. You need men that will step up into no man's land and take a hit. And I didn't see it.
Men who aren't afraid to kill.
Yes.
Kill, yeah.
I'm going over the top.
For every Pat Spillane.
Yeah.
You need a Paddy O'Shea behind him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For every Trevor Giles, you need a McGuinness behind him.
You need a Darren Fay.
You need a Darren Fay.
You need a Colm Coyle. You need a Snitchy Ferguson. You need a Liam Harnan. Hands on him like shovels. Dosing cattle that morning.
Yes.
Am I right?
And you give over your name.
Yeah, your number.
You have
just
no
a number.
Name for the 12 months.
A mugshot of them going into
not
the...
Not even a mugshot. A photograph of their shadow.
That would be fine. That would be good. Yeah.
There's a men with backbone and spine and balls.
Yeah.
And men on the big occasion.
Men whose fathers have limps.
Men on the big occasion who will not falter on the biggest stage. Yes.
Right, so anyway, have you anything else that you'd like to talk about?
I have absolutely nothing to add to that. On a softer note, we are here for you now.
Right,
and
well,
I really mean this here.
We are here
for you. We put our arms around you.
Yeah, thanks.
We put our arms around your family.
I don't need any pity.
We put our arms around Knockmore GAA.
I think this is the problem. We've had too much pity. Mayo. Everyone feeling sorry for
I don't
us.
Feel sorry for you. I just want to start again.
Yeah, exactly.
Year
so
zero.
Just forget about it. Anyway, the important thing is the club championship starts in 2 weeks' time.
And will there now? So
and that's all.
Will
that matters.
There be a great
blood.
Reckoning
yes.
in the club championship? Will men who are on the same team at the weekend will now be facing each other, going, "I have business with you."
Yeah.
And so will there be wigs in the green? Will there be blood and bone?
That'll be tough. It'll be tough, yeah.
Will there be county players going, yeah, county me bollocks and hit them with a shoulder?
Good.
Yeah.
We need... That'll be exciting.
There'll be loads of club fellas now wanting to give them a rattle, you know, so...
So, myself and Larita were at the match. Hector was busy.
Yeah. Busy. He was busy winning matches.
I was at another match in Tomb Stadium. So tell us, guys, did you meet up before it for a coffee and a cappuccino
coffee,
or an Irish breakfast? Did you have a pint of Guinness?
I have to say, my day was going swimmingly until I went to... I saw Ronaldo score his first goal.
Magnificent.
There was loads of excitement. The crack was unreal.
Ronaldo!
But everyone was in Mayo mood. Everything was great.
Yes.
And then we had to go to Crow Park. And
tell me about the excitement before. What was Jones's Road like?
Well, I just said
it was all lively and it was all good. But there was
there many bootcut jeans and brown slip-ons from Tyrone?
No, the Tyrone crowd now kind of keep themselves. What's remarkable about Tyrone is, you know, they're playing a Gaelic game in another jurisdiction. So you get Mayo.
Careful now.
Well, what I mean by that is you get Mayo now and every primary school in the county but that wouldn't necessarily be the case in Tyrone.
No, but it's probably even more intense then because you're going to just certain parishes and certain places. But.
Are we going to say well done to those men from the red-handed county who went through the championship
as nobody wanting them to win.
Kerry hating them. Do you know who's really hurting as well? Is the Kerry boys. Because the kingdom are in bits that Tyrone have won in all Ireland. And I know that for a fact.
How many months ago
did Tyrone take a pasting below in Killarney?
The middle of June.
They took a 20-point pasting below and they regrouped the battalions.
They were probably tired from the... That's a long old bus journey from Tyrone down to Kerry.
A good
they're probably wrecked
hours.
From the bus.
Yeah.
I've met a few Kerry men over the weekend and they were I drank 4 pints of Coors Light watching the match.
What kind of a man drinks Coors Light?
bottles of it.
Are you on a diet?
No, pints.
Coors Light.
No,
There's no Coors Strong.
Coors Light. Is that like diet drink?
Ah, stop it.
What is Coors Light?
I got a bit of a buzz off it as well, and I went home and watched the whole of the fucking Raducanu watching the US Open.
Tell me this.
Young Raducanu, she's only 12.
2.5 million,
she's unbelievable. 10 matches, 3 weeks, unbeaten, didn't drop a set. She's the new Virginia Wade.
Is there Coors Heavy?
No. There's Coors Light and Coors Heavy.
Coors Strong.
It's a Coors Strong.
And I drank with a Kerry man there as well, who's a cool...
Are you going through the menopause? Is that why?
Yes, I am, yeah. I threw 3 estrogen patches into it just to get a buzz.
There's estrogen in Coors Light.
I'll tell you one thing, you need to give them Mayo players something.
Did you get somebody else to order the Coors Light for you?
Of course he did.
If you could put a patch of something, like a vitamin, a hormone or something, that a magic patch on the arms of every Mayo man, and to say, put this on.
Does it come with the tampons?
Yes,
the
it does,
Light?
Yeah. What would you put? A patch of what? Would you give them extra what?
I don't know.
Come on, Larita. What if you have a magic vitamin, a magic drug, a magic... What do you want in them?
Well, like passion, maybe, or a drive, determination.
Do you know what was kind of disappointing was that? I came across this kind of statistical thing about the match after the match,
right?
And statistically speaking, Tyrone only scored once more than Mayo, and statistically speaking, Tyrone only had 3 shots on goal more than Mayo. But you're missing the buzz of it if you're relying on the statistics. Because there was it was just that there was a kind of... there was a spiritual victory for Tyrone that wasn't represented in the numbers. Like, you could tell by watching the match they were dominating, even though, statistically speaking... They weren't.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it was kind of... Yeah. But it was a fine old day now, in fairness. And who I felt really sorry for was... The Mayo people staying in Dublin could have the crack.
Yeah.
Right. So the match didn't go as planned. You'd be, you know, it's a familiar feeling, but you could walk 15 minutes down the road and have a pint and have a laugh and almost half enjoy the giving out.
And after a few pints then.
And another pint and another pint.
Takes away the pain.
We pulled into Mulligan's in Poolbeg Street and we had... I had one of the finest pints of porter I've ever swallowed.
Delicious.
After a Mayo defeat.
Yeah.
And it was a great old time.
Yes.
It's the poor fuckers driving.
We've said
back.
It again on this podcast.
Stuck
stopping at the Apple Green.
Bastards, because there's no crack in the car.
No crack. And it's 3 hours and 4 hours to Belmullet.
And you're still talking about the same thing when you're starting out the journey as you are when you get home.
And if there was beer on board, it's the hangover kicking in by the time you go over the Shannon. It's a rotten stinking journey.
Stinking.
What was... So you were back in Mayo yesterday, and was there... Did you go out for a jar?
No, I didn't. There was nothing to be discussed yesterday. It was,
right.
It was house private yesterday, I'm afraid.
Oh yeah, flowers only.
Flowers only, yeah. Donations in lieu to the Mayo training camp.
Did you all pull the curtains?
I watched the match again
and closed the gate,
which was worse. There's nothing to be talked about. Like, you're talking about it afterwards, and you're talking about it the whole way up here. And what's to be talked? There's nothing to talk about. Like, you know, we went through this stage in the last 6 or 7 years that it was just unfortunate that Mayo came up against Dublin, and Dublin were, you know, too good, and they were always going to win the All Ireland, and it was just...
And next
year
it's just unfortunate the Mayo men's senior team come up against the Meath women.
Yeah.
Exactly. Because the news is out this morning that Meath women are gone men's senior.
Yeah.
And they're the first team ever to compete at that level.
At level.
Vicky Wall is the new Graham Geraghty of Gaelic football.
Yes. Well, that's good news for...
Come on, ye girls in green! Come on, ye girls in green!
Oh, I have to tell you, I got an invite from them during the week on social media. They went round the towns and they went drinking in Foxes and Nab.
Oh, lovely.
And next minute, up came a photograph, Hector, open invitation. Can you make it? I fucking hopped in the car. I was in Navan in an hour.
An hour?
I was in the middle of them.
Tommy, you didn't get invited.
No,
but what can you say?
Anyway, listen, I don't know. There's nothing to say. There's, you know, we were beaten by Dublin before and they were superior and they were excellent. And Tyrone came up with no expectations and no messing and they won the match. And that was it. And the match was there for the taking the other day. And we
Tommy Gold come in on goal. Like, I watched it in a pub. I saw the reaction in a pub. What was the reaction like, say, when the penalty... And he struck it well.
No, do you know what? I tell you what happens in the penalty is there's a moment where you're not sure what's happening.
Yeah.
Right, the ball is hit. And then there's a half a second of...
What happened?
What?
Yeah.
And then you see the ball bouncing behind.
Yeah.
It's very
and
different.
Then when you see the wide sign, you know, you're thinking, oh, maybe it'll be
to the go poor Gosson, and he
was excellent. He scored 9 points.
He's a good footballer.
Massive pressure on him all year, and he played excellent. And look at, Jesus, sir, there's nothing to talk about.
No, but there is.
There is tons there to is talk because about. That's why we're here.
So can we
move on?
What we want to say is, togging out now for club begins when.
Well, championship is on the 24th, 25th.
So when is the Knockmore, who are the reigning county champions?
Our first game is against Ahamore, and I'm not sure if it's on the Saturday or Sunday, the 24th.
Would we sponsor the jerseys? Or what can we do
we
for you?
We have sponsors. We are ready to go.
Will we sponsor the scoreboard?
We're hoping to get out. We're hoping to not be relegated in the league, which isn't going so well for us. But that's a big match this weekend, so I presume our county players will be back.
When is the training starting again?
It's when the county boys come back. You know, okay. The training's in it's full ongoing. Flow. Like, so it's we had 4 boys involved with the county panel, so we get them back and get them stuck in and just drive on. Let's not look back, let's go forward.
I saw some lovely images of Lee Keegan on the pitch afterwards with his little girl and stuff, and Keegan especially for me is one of the greatest footballers I've ever seen.
Yeah, he's a great leader.
So sincere, Hector. I love that about you. It's a great sincerity.
Keegan puts it in. Am I right? Puts in a shift.
Of course.
A lot of the lads don't do the 12-hour shift.
But you're a horror.
A beast, yeah.
He ran up the pitch there and he got the head taken off him. His head fell off.
Yeah.
One of the thrown defenders.
And did he pick it up again?
He put it under his arm.
What's a man on them covered bridges?
He put the head under his arm and ran back.
The headless horseman.
And he ran back into defence and he put the head back on him.
The headless horseman.
Yeah.
Do you know, so tough.
We have plenty of tough.
Can I ask you about the demeanour of your coach on the sideline, your manager on the sideline? Did he look like he was a rudderless, the mind was gone after 30 minutes?
I don't know. He's been there before. You'd have to, you know.
I tell you who I like. I like the Apache McDonald. I like the Apache. That's who you need. So for those of you who don't know, there's a book on the sideline.
He's Navajo, Tommy, is he?
He's tats from his fingertips to his toenails.
He must be Comanche.
There isn't a fucking half a centimetre of body fat on him.
No.
He is ripped and ready to go. And you need that fucking Comanche Apache Navajo.
You want him riding a pony through the main streets of Ballina bareback at 10 in the morning. Come on! That's who you need
in charge
filling of the team.
And filling the back of it with the load of players.
Stop.
Yeah. Anyway, maybe we should have brought him on or something.
Tell me now, in terms of the physique, how were you when the book from Tyrone took off the top?
Jesus,
what happened there? I didn't know what happened there.
The jersey got ripped, but Jesus Christ, they're savage looks like, aren't they?
Have they all got beards in the defence? Because they look like they're...
The Tyrone boys look as if there might be a session or two on the sunbeds a week.
Oh yeah, well that's the new trend now.
That's the culture.
How many beards are on that team? A beard, they're all...
I was
all
looking
got
at the beards now, but I did notice when the jersey was ripped off him.
He was a fine book.
Jesus Christ. And then the jerseys are so tight now, he could barely put it back on him. It was all like...
And?
It was just like putting on a wetsuit.
What was the interesting thing was... So Tyrone would have been... Your man was just sent off. So Tyrone were 3 or 4 points up at that stage with only 3 or 4 minutes left.
Yeah.
And when he took the top off, there were a few male women who got momentarily distracted and went,
had a bit of excitement, you know, we needed to grab onto it.
Did he walk over to get a fresh one?
Yeah, he did, yeah.
He was a fine
big buck. Was that Kilpatrick or... It was the midfielder anyway.
Yeah, but the two boys were throwing handbags at one another.
Yeah.
And the male boy got fucking sent off and the commentator's going, well, he can't be doing that. Would you grow the fuck up and let a man take a fucking belt to the head and not be panicking?
Not like years ago.
A bit of beating. That was awful. That was awful.
Fucking soft. You'd let it go in a primary school. You'd let it go in a fucking Montessori. Never mind the All-Ireland fucking final.
Someone got a puck like that. It'd be fine, yeah.
If I was in charge of a Montessori class and one fella pucked another and I'd say, cop the fuck on. Yeah. Stop crying, you
wimp. Don't send him home.
Yeah. And there'd be a ceremony then of burning the bicycle helmets at lunchtime.
You should have your own Montessori school.
It's called Tough Cunts.
for 2 to 4-year-olds.
Yeah, cop the fuck on.
New reality show.
Yeah.
Find Mayo a team.
Right. Well, that'll be presented by Tommy.
Telling you, there's always hope. There's
the
always
collectiveness of those.
Is there? After 70 years, there's always
hope.
Totally.
Because if you look at the way Tyrone were totally unfancy at the beginning of the season, but and the monumental effort they put in, there's no reason to say my. But they do need a change. They need the Apache to take charge. They need men with scars or prison records.
Yes,
and you need a couple of poets. But we they have to be protected jerseys. By thugs.
Thugs, yeah. And
for every
jerseys.
One poet, you need three thugs.
Yes, yeah. And one in, that's the ratio. All in.
That's the golden ratio.
Well, I'm glad now that you've shared that inspiration with me, Tommy. I'll take it back to the people of Mayo and I will
There's
see
no need
what we
reason because myself and Hector, we've applied for the job joint managers.
Of the Mead Ladies.
Oh, no.
No, of the Mayo Senior Men's Football Team.
Oh, are we applying for that?
Fucking right
we're
we are.
You're not going to get the Mead Ladies. Well, they're all Ireland
will,
champions.
Yes, look, I have contacts in the Navajo and Sioux Nation, the First Nation people. We will
mix them for a training.
Mix them with McDonald and we will bring them in.
We're going to do a
tribal chiefs.
We're going to do a winter camp in the fucking cage of fields.
No, and we're going to put in wigwams and it's going to be all fucking going back to First Nation fucking.
We need you to bring a few of those Meath men down and
just
maybe
fucking toughen them up and eat raw meat and killing
like fucking what was it?
Kill goats,
killing
and
sheep and
reverence and fucking eating goats.
The Revenant.
The Revenant. The Revenant and the Mountains of Niffin.
Six months
and nothing.
6 weeks is
they won't even see a fucking Gaelic football. It'll just be savage and surviving. So when they come down from the mountain, they're ready to go to fucking war.
They'll be doing the parade next year and the band would be so scared of them, they'd be trotting ahead. They'd be running ahead of the fucking team.
They'd be jogging ahead.
Jogging with
the
fucking trombone and the big barrel drum.
And there's only one man that played in the 2021 All-Ireland final that'll be left.
The headless O'Hara.
And Keegan.
Well, Keegan can become the tribal chief.
Keegan was, one of the things I really liked about Keegan was he did a long fucking run, took belts to the head.
Yes. Yeah.
Took a fucking puck a puck to the ribs, took a swooch up his fucking arse, and he still had the composure after running through to fucking slot the ball over the barrel.
Fucking mighty footballer.
Savage.
He's a mighty bit of stuff.
I was thinking about Limerick.
Yeah.
The Limerick hurlers, right? Mm. And the boys, they'd be a fucking turbine whirlwind of fucking hurls swirling around a fucking ball.
Yeah.
And the Limerick boy would fucking burst out through it.
Mm.
Now, you can't teach that.
No.
That's in you. You can teach skills, you can teach fucking tactics, you can teach diagonal runs, but you can't teach fucking toughness.
No.
But myself and Hector are willing
to give it a go
for a very, very reasonable small fee.
Absolutely.
To take charge of the Mayo fucking. In fact, it might be better off, Hector, if we took charge of the under fours.
Yes.
And we worked them up
for 16 years.
To take them, we would go in like fucking Tuusla and we're just taking kids out of
plucking
houses.
Plucking kids out of
national school. Stand up here, we'll have a look at you.
Out of houses.
What's your name?
We'll take them to Inishark, an island with no electricity or no running water.
Right.
And we'll toughen the fuckers up.
It'll be an 11-year programme.
Raw eggs.
And we will pick them from national schools up and down the county, the type of young lads we want.
Yes.
And they're there. They're sitting down in the middle of the class and they're daydreaming, looking out the window. But we know
they're the fellas who come to school with no lunch.
Yes.
Right, you're going to take them on.
Yes.
I'm looking forward to this.
Tough
I don't know
bastards.
About you, but I think this could be it. I think this is what we've been missing. Tough bastards.
I was just thinking there, what qualifications have we between us? Nothing. Have you a degree qualification?
No, waste of time.
I did the Leaving Cert.
Waste of time.
Have you anything qualification?
I do. I have some sort
of. What paperwork have you to say you are who you are?
Some sort of journalist thing or something.
Oh, did you do
it? Are you a journalist?
Have you a degree in journalism?
Yeah.
From where?
From Ballyfermot.
You never told us, for fuck.
I went to college, lads. But it's
for
not,
how long?
It's,
did you get the degree?
No, it was like an ordinary. It's called a lower degree. I don't know what that is.
It's like a
step up from a diploma, but it's not a degree either.
And did you get a bit of paper?
Yeah, I did. I got a bit of paper.
It's a step up from a shop voucher.
Yeah, it's basically like a voucher. Yeah,
a lower degree in journalism.
I don't know if you can get, if you can buy anything.
And look at you now, you're in journal, you're in podcasting.
And how long did you spend studying for that?
I was in Ballyfermot for 3 years.
The Lord.
Ballyfermot College.
When we met
it's
you
a
and
media,
I read,
it's a media
when,
college.
When we met you way back in the day of that fledgling.
I had it then.
Is that what got you into iRadio?
I don't know.
So you were in Ballyfermot for 3 years?
Yeah.
And where were you living?
In Dublin.
Tell us about, because we know Dublin like the back of our hands.
I was living in Ballsbridge. It's pure ridiculous, like living in Dublin. I was getting the number 18 bus from Sandy Mount Green out to Ballyfermot.
How did somebody go
day and night?
And who lived out in
who lived with you?
I lived with people from Ballina.
Oh,
I lived with Martin. I lived with Emily, and I lived.
Did Martin and Emily's parents own
brothers.
The house?
No.
How did
he's renting in Ballsbridge?
Yeah.
The fuck?
Right on Lansdowne Road.
Hang on a second.
Lansdowne Road.
Mayo people don't go to Dublin and rent first time in Ballsbridge. What's the backstory there?
I don't know. And Niall.
Did you have a sugar daddy?
Somebody won the lot.
That's a big thing down in Cork, you know, the sugar daddies.
How does that work?
So I was, it's about 2 or 3 years ago, and I was asked to do a lunchtime gig in Cork University and to talk to the students afterwards, like a questions and answer session. And I got talking to somebody in the students' union, and they were saying to me that they have a big problem with the sugar daddy thing.
How?
So a sugar daddy is where a young one will advertise.
There's websites, isn't there, for it?
I have no idea, but she'll be 19, 20, 21, 22. And she'll go onto this website. And what happens is a older man with a bit of money dates her. Yeah. And he buys her things.
Yeah. It's a website. I saw a girl talking about it before, how they go on. And it's not that they necessarily have sex with them.
No.
But they go to like events with them. Or
it's a platonic relationship. Company,
yeah. And they pay for their stuff, whatever.
Shoes and fucking dresses,
clothes and nice meals.
Yeah, and
it's weird, isn't it?
It's a strange one. Yeah, it's a curious one. Anyway,
we didn't have one anyway. Me and Emily shared two single beds in it was 2-bedroom house. It was 4 of us living in it, and we paid €400 each to be living in a single bed. It was about it was expensive, like, to live there even then. That was back in.
And did Mum and Dad pay for that for you?
Yeah, I got a grant and I worked at the weekends.
Where'd you work? The county council grant.
The jeweller shop in Rory Quinns.
All right, so you trace back to Mayo then of a Friday.
Did you get the county council grant?
I don't know.
Wasn't it lovely when it came in every month? Yeah. You get a good drinking session.
So that's what we had to pay for, yeah. And I got €50 from my parents every Sunday going back to college.
Ah, lovely stuff.
€50 and then whatever else I had.
And where'd you go from Ballsbridge then the next year?
I lived there for however long I was there.
Wow.
I lived with my sister then. I think she was working in Dublin at the time. Then I stayed with her for a couple of months when I was finishing up.
And what did you make of the Dublin books when you were out showing your face?
Ah, she'd be still shifting country lads, like.
Oh, right, okay.
You know, you wouldn't get too into the Dublin books. Like, you'd be still going out to Coppers on a Thursday night.
Munging Culchies.
And then you'd be getting munging Culchies, and then you go to the Busaurus on a Friday.
Get the shift there before the bus home.
Yeah. And you'd have enough money to get. I remember myself and a friend of mine, Jacinta, she was doing teaching, and we'd have enough money to buy a sandwich in Longford on the way down. We'd share it.
Yes.
And we'd be down, and on a Friday, be home. You'd be doing well to get home at around 4 o'clock on a Friday.
What was your favourite dinner coming home from that bus journey? You knew your mum would have it ready.
I don't know, probably roast chicken or lamb chops.
Lamb chops emanating out the window.
What qualifications do you have?
I did the Leaving Cert, and then I didn't do much. I went away and lived different places.
But you were in Trinity for a while.
I tried Trinity, Tommy.
Old Irish.
Old, and it was called Early and Modern Irish. So I didn't even fill out my CV or
CAO form.
The CAO form. The boys filled it out in biology. Dungan filled out mine. Whitey filled out yours.
So it was just.
Decky Smith, will you fill out mine? So what we did was here, lads.
So what was it? Just random what you
picked? We all gave the CAO form. We all signed it. And we gave it around biology. And then the boys put in mechanical engineering, biomedical.
So was it just a pure chance what
and
you got?
And then we put it in actuary and all this crack. Yeah, biomedical.
Well, so you didn't get the first 10 offers?
I didn't get anything. I got Early and Modern Irish. It was number 46 on me CAO. But we got, I qualified for the County Council grant, which was a beautiful thing in Trinity.
It was, wasn't it?
There was this, round the main gate of Trinity, to the right was the student office, and every month they would put up this A4 sheet, and it would say, Kerry County Council grant in. Donegal, County Council grant in, and a
great
date.
Yeah.
And me and Freddie and the boys would be up there like hyenas waiting for.
And you'd spend all the money the first week.
Gone in a week. Yeah. Gone down the buttery bar. I did Early and Modern Irish. It wasn't for me. I was way too young and I didn't even know I was supposed to do a linguistics exam at the end of the year. And one lad said to me, hey, have you an exam this morning? I said, I don't know. He says, we have a linguistics. I said, I didn't even know I was studying linguistics. And he said, we were studying it all year. I failed miserably. I did a TEFL course. So I've got my Leaving Cert and I've got a TEFL course. I did a TEFL course over a week.
They make kettles, do they, TEFL?
Yeah. Pans they make, pans.
That's Teflon.
Teflon.
I have a TEFL course and that's all the qualifications I have.
You've got that now, you know.
I have that, but that's what I want to say. What qualifications
I want to ask you a question. When you failed first year at Trinity... And home to mam then.
not really, I can't remember. There wasn't,
did you even tell her?
There wasn't really disdain or anything. There wasn't really any anger. There wasn't really a giving out to.
Just
there wasn't,
disappointment?
There was, I can't remember. There was a bit disappointment, obviously, but what was I going to do then? I hadn't a clue. What do you do at 17 when you fail your first year in university?
Jeez, you're doing well to be in having a year done by the time you're 17.
Yeah, well, I was 16 doing the leaving. I was one of the youngest ever in Ireland. One of the youngest in Leinster to sit the Leaving Cert. I sat the Leaving Cert at 16.
That's another achievement in itself.
Yes, yes, yes. So it's the first into Irish exam, Irish oral exam. Mary Ball said to me, she had me ready for this. Mary Ball, Richie's wife. Richie taught us English. Mary was the Irish teacher. And she said to me, by Tussle Gullistiaca Dussock Lahayan Bail Trail. Because the Bail Trail had just started around 86, where you could get a large percentage of your Irish paper. So she put pressure on me at Christmas. She said, by Tussle Gullistiaca Lahayan Bail Trail, Tussle Nkhe Dinnis a Skull. So I went into my oral.
But what was the disadvantage or the advantage of that?
Well, I don't know. She wanted to set the agenda. Maybe she wanted to, obviously I could speak Irish well. I went into that oral Irish exam. I am not kidding you. I walked into that office and there was the person sitting there. There's a lady sitting there. I went, Kjeholtu. And I knew from the way she answered me back that I had better Irish than her. Way better.
So you
and
then I outsmarted her.
I didn't outsmart her, but I had to take it pretty easy because there was no point. I knew from the moment she spoke that she obviously was qualified to do that, but
you probably said "Keg will crack." I went. She probably said "Tom, hey, good morning."
It's my love.
I went. Yeah, I was kidding. You know the simple things. Call to the corner. Yeah, Tom. On show. Machen bohr. Knock a number. Neil Chuck. Mila. On sculpture. You know.
She was like,
"You're not going." I am living out of the. I went. It's only. Oh, me, I'm yeah, Tom. I'm only out the road about an hour, about a half mile from here, really. And then she goes, "Cadi in the Cahav Amtrak." What are your hobbies? And I went, for fuck's sake, like, do we speak English like this? What is your name? Where are you from? And can you tell me your hobbies?
It's so my glum art.
You
do if you're applying for citizenship.
I went. Beamshire. Ah, Gilliard Ruddy. Beamshire. Playlish. Bail. Because I play Kilkish and Kishville. It's Barlam and Kishville. I started losing.
She was bamboozled.
She was bamboozled anyway. But that was the Irish. I still got a C in honours. But I suppose my TEFL, my Leaving Cert. But that was all the qualifications I've had. And we've spoken about qualifications and journeys, Tommy.
Well, my missus has got loads of qualifications. She's a very able and academic and gifted person. But I have nothing. I'm not qualified to do anything. I think I did a counselling course as part of fucking Galway Youth Services way back. It was a weekend
did
course
you get the
counselling.
Why
did you take that one? It was because you had to
he was working with assignments. I was working with the Galway Youth Services. And so as part of the thing, they went on a counselling course.
Were you actually working for them or were you just volunteering?
Would you shut the fuck up?
Would you please,
Anita? No, I'm just interested.
It was a false thing.
So you had to do it.
So yeah, but you could choose. You could I want to do a false mechanical engineering.
It was a seven-year course.
I want to do a false woodwork thing.
7 years.
Yeah. That's back in the day when false didn't have that many telephones, so fellas were doing secretarial skills with the banana. That's a fact, Larita. That's a fucking fact.
Phone call.
Down in Nuns Island.
Good morning, hello.
Banana. Why are you laughing?
Why are you sneering?
You're a sneering tramp.
You'd be fucking well set to now.
Fucking a balls bridge,
Ballyfermot.
What's the sugar down the aisle? Right fucking well, you know.
Balls bridge.
A Ballyfermot journalism degree.
You're munching someone for that.
I'd say you got an honours degree in fucking coppers.
That's it, yeah.
Applied anatomy of cultures.
That's it.
I learned how to use it.
In comedy clubs, there's photographs of well-known comedians who've played there. In coppers, there's one of you.
The Munja. The mighty Munja from Mayo.
The Munja blew it.
722 shifts in one night.
For other things, not learning how to use the telephone. Go on, what else?
You drain a fella's mouth quicker than a dentist.
That's the worst line I've ever heard.
Don't ever slag him on what he did. He was 7 years doing a night court.
He was learning how to say hello on a phone.
He was working with Galway Community.
I was doing Galway Youth Services.
How to answer the phone properly.
I was doing Galway Youth Services.
And you were using a banana to answer the phone.
No, these other lads were doing that. I was working around a youth club down in the West. Opposite the Crane Bar. Still know a few fellas. I said hello to a fella the other day from the that I would have met when I was running the youth club. So I still see them down around. Then I was working in Inishanna Park in a place called Cyrene House.
What did you do there? Cyrene House
was a place where fellas, they were too young to go to prison.
Right.
But they were too mental.
Not to.
to be allowed home.
Right.
Like, these are fucking...
So what did you do with
them? Strange books. These were fellas, like, they had their fucking... They had Apache seagull energy.
Could they play for Mayo?
One fella came in through the window one day and he said, I rode me sister.
And what this did you
is,
say?
This is what I knew wasn't. I knew social work wasn't for me because I am not equipped to deal
so
with these
boys.
I said, "Will we have lemonade?
I'll put on the kettle here.
Do you want to score?
Well, John,
mad like
mad bastards.
Well, but good young fellas, like, just fellas who had no fucking
off button.
They just were. So I worked with them, but as part of that, I had to go on a counselling course.
Right.
And
after that incident, they thought that you needed some help.
So that's
the qualification.
I didn't get I don't know if I got a qualification out of it. And it was just sitting in a place out in Spiddle for a week, listening to people talk about themselves. That was all it was. I know. I've no actual qualification.
But you were on the dole for a long time. Did you not have to do any other courses?
No, you didn't. You just kind of, I did that thing and that was it.
Nobody said anything to me about you going to college. Was your dad not disappointed you didn't go on to university?
Nah, I was gone out of the house. He'd enough to be dealing with
the
home.
He didn't even know what he was
doing. So isn't it funny, there was no pressure put on you?
No pressure put on me at all.
No.
Not the slightest. I was out the gap.
Yeah, I see these families and I take my hat off to them because my son is doing this and my daughter's studying this and applied biomedical engineer and the other's a patent lawyer and they did this and they did that or actuary or accountancy or 650 points in leaving. I was just fucking fascinated by that. In our family, there wasn't one fucking degree.
Some houses are academic, but I would never begrudge. Like, I think it stood to me, the 8 years on the dole. I think it really, but I wasn't signing on
what
the dole in Galway.
What did you give an appreciation for? Why did you think it stood to you? In what way?
Because I was
life.
Given all the time in the world to decide what
talent.
I wanted to do. And I was given all the time in the world to have crack and to experience poverty and to spend, like, we would, winters, entire fucking from September to April, with no heat in the house.
The dampness.
No hot water.
Condensation.
Damp clothes. And you did year
shitty
after fucking...
Shitty fucking apartments.
And to feel the place and your own bones warming up around May and then the summer. There's always a summer of women.
Yeah.
You were 21 and 22 and you had a girlfriend or maybe you were single and there was just young, fresh looking, beautiful young ones from Nina and fucking Germany and Holland and Dublin and... Galway was just a buzzing place to be. And then the rain would start in September and you knew you were in for the slog of it then. And But I really appreciated that. I'd never begrudge any child. Like, to have to know what you have to do when
you
want
to... Yeah, it's awful pressure, yeah.
But signing on the dole in Galway wasn't the same as signing on the dole in Navan or Longford Town or Athlone or, you know, or Clonmel. Like, there was thousands of us on the dole.
And free,
thousands
there's more freedom, was there in Galway?
But there was just there was an entire community of people on the dole.
Mm.
You know, you were
the dole office back then was rammed.
Oh my god,
rammed!
It was like the fucking point.
There were crusties coming in.
It was like the Three Arena.
There were crusties coming in with the dogs and the smell of patchouli oil, and there was caravans pulling up and Winnebagos with German
travellers. Brilliant working class Galway people who
hippies, musicians,
jobs.
It was great. No,
outside,
it really was
outside the Keys. On a Friday night, there'd be bongos playing and crusties and cider.
What was your big night out during the week when you
Friday
got the money?
Night.
Well, for me, it would be a Wednesday. So I'd get me dole on a Wednesday. I had a slate in the snooker club, so I had to pay me debt. So you from Thursday to Tuesday, you'd be playing best of three for the lights.
And you'd be paying off your debts then.
So maybe you got through the week winning all the time and you'd no debts, or maybe you had a 5 or 6 quid to pay or whatever it was. But Wednesday nights was, you could... you'd head down to the Crane Bar, and back in them days you could get, I've said this before, but it's one of the most beautiful sentences ever uttered in Hiberno English.
Uttered in Hiberno English.
You could get 4 pints for a fiver.
Jesus.
We would
you
always
could
go.
Get 4 pints for a fiver. It was 1.20 a pint in the Crane. Way back in 1991, 1992. I remember one
four
of the...
4 pints for a fiver.
I remember one of the fucking greatest days of my life was World Cup 90... Was
94?
No, before the 90 World Cup. When did Ireland do well?
90 Italia, 86 yeah. Mexico.
86, and then 94, and it was 90. Then it was 90.
Wait, Italia, I was...
Oh, Italia 90, of course,
Italia 90,
yeah.
And myself and a fella, we had £1 each to gamble. Mm. Opening match of the tournament. Argentina versus the Cameroon.
Go on.
The Cameroon were 18-1 to win 1-0.
And
we put £1 each on it, and they fucking won 1-0.
She were
what was your man
then?
Who used to
Roger
dance?
Roger Miller.
What, remember he used to dance at the...
Roger Miller. Nobody know exactly how old he was. He could have been 40 or 29.
And he scored the goal.
He scored the goal.
And
but
he
it was
had
great.
18, 19 pounds.
19
Friday
pounds.
Nights, we would go down towards Monroe's, that area, and the Blue Note, and all around there, Calico Jacks, the Crane, all that area. But there was one Saturday in particular, we wanted to go to Salt Hill. We were going there that evening, and we had only a couple of quid. I think I had £2 left. And I said to Dipna, Jenny Pittman, Royal Athlete, the Grand National. I'm going in here, put £2 on Jenny Pittman's Royal Athlete. 40-1. We went out to Salt Hill that night with like £80 in our pockets, myself and the missus. Oh, I'll know. Jenny Pittman, Royal Athlete. Fantastic. But you valued it then because you get enough for cider, enough for Buckfast, whatever you wanted. You had 2 or 3 days on it then.
But mind you, I mean, there did come a time when I had enough of the dole and I was done with it.
Yeah.
You know, and you burst out of it then into work that you enjoy doing. So it wasn't like this ideal state that you wanted to live in forever. But for your early 20s in Galway, it was fucking mighty. But come to mid 20s, like I was 26 when I signed off the dole. Because I knew I could earn a living from stand-up comedy. Now, not a great living, but I knew that I could go to clubs in London and fucking Nottingham and Birmingham. I knew that I'd never be stuck for cash once I kind of got me basic abilities going in stand up. So signing off the dole was, but I was waiting for it. I was ready to sign off, like, you know.
I was 32 before I learned how to drive and drive a car. I was 28 before I learned how to swim.
Did you do a course on the dole?
I wait. My mother said all good things comes to those who wait. And when we bought our first Fiat Punto for 5,000 fucking pounds, we were like fucking fucking
Kardashians.
We were Kanye fucking West. It was Kim Kardashian and your one in the front. It was fucking, we were just so, I had a Punto. What, a Punto.
What did they, I was, the girls were getting their nails done up in Dublin before the match.
Yeah.
And the two girls popped in and we're going to get their nails done. And I fucked off to a theological bookshop and bought a few books about God anyway, just to pass
about,
the time.
About the Virgin Mary.
Oh, Mary Magdalene.
And did you have a sneaky little double espresso?
Oh, I did, of course. Yes. Double espresso macchiato. You have to go into a bookshop buzzed out here, Mary.
Yeah. It's too exciting. Otherwise.
Tell me you had 11 coffees going into Crow Park.
And then I went back into the nail shop to see, and the women were getting the hands, were in the microwave at this stage.
Yeah.
Getting laminated.
You went in to check it out.
And I just wanted to sat down. And weren't there... Is there 5 Kardashians in it?
There is,
yeah. 3 older ones and then 2.
And
the
mother,
Jenners,
the mother, she's
Jenners.
111.
There's the 2 Jenner kids.
And they're fine books of women. Like.
They are.
They're not, the wind wouldn't blow them off course, as the fella said.
No,
they're fine books of women. But they were sitting down at some yoke chatting to people. And I was, what is it that they do? Is there, because
you were watching their television programme.
I don't know what it was.
Keeping Up with the Kardashians.
No, this was, they had YouTube on in the nail.
Yeah, it's probably Keeping Up with the Kardashians.
It's a nice place
to
watch.
No, this was them. They were, it was something like,
were they in the
a press conference, and the 5 of them were sitting holding microphones and someone was interviewing them.
All right.
But I was wondering, like, what?
They have all sorts of things.
They
like
do clothes and makeup.
Makeup and all that. And the mother is the matriarch. She runs the whole operation. She's
the Mother Teresa of the Kardashians.
She is, yes. She runs everything that happens in that house.
Yeah, she's Chris.
And have they peaked, you think, the Kardashians?
No.
Like the missus said to me, the 5 of them is billionaires.
Yeah, so what, sure, they can't, they are peaked because they can't get much bigger. Like.
But in terms of being iconic, is their time passing?
Well, they're there.
Is it all Billie Eilish now and...
Moving on to different ones, but they just have
the young one from
they
Mead.
Just have an offspring that they all, everyone looks like them. You know what I mean? Like all young ones now.
And is Kim still
like
married
them.
to Snoop Dogg?
I think they're not.
He's changed his name
again.
Can you?
Totally. To what?
I don't know what he's calling himself.
I can't.
Can you? I can't.
That's what it is.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
You mentioned the playlist there.
Yes. Did you ever get around to your stomach?
I was going to run it by you now.
Okay. Ooh. So we've asked for these Spotify playlists. Come on, Tommy.
So what I did was I just picked one song that I liked, and I thought to myself, what would come good after that? Ooh. As opposed to kind of going, I like this. I just went, okay, that one, and then how about that one?
That's what DJs do.
Okay, yeah. So this is me.
Pure natural DJ.
Here we go now.
So I started off with "Things Have Changed" by Bob Dylan.
Right.
I used to care, but things have changed. There's a it's a mighty song.
8 minutes long, probably.
No, it's about 5 or 6 minutes. And then "I Don't Want to Grow Up" by Tom Waits.
Yes.
I don't want to grow up. Then "A Pagan Place" by the Waterboys.
Oh, my word.
Who saw his arrow? How high did it fly? When you tipped it with poison, did he even know why?
So that's good. We're getting there now.
And then... she moves in mysterious way.
She moves in mysterious ways.
And then it went a bit weird, but I thought I would just follow it. I will abandon my critical faculties and just go with the flow of whatever.
You're feeling it now.
Yeah, so then I went, I get knocked down, but I get up again. I'm never gonna get me down. I get knocked down, but I get up again. And then it got really weird.
Oh, you're into it.
Then I'm, We will rock you. We will rock you. Again, then rock you. The next thing, I'm the Slim Shady.
Oh, what?
Please, Slim Shady, please stand up. Please stand up. Then I was getting ready. Then
we're into it now.
And then
don't tell me it's Vanilla Ice.
No, no. Munja, Molly Maloney, Porrick Stevens, Molly Maloney.
Oh yes,
I never heard that one.
Fantastic.
Oh, we're down from Slim Shady to Molly.
Did you put in the Bummin song?
And then
he's gone from California to Tuam.
And then deep in his pocket was his red right hand. Bum bum.
Is that Nick Cave?
Yes, bum bum. Ba-bum! And then a bit of jazz, "Love Supreme" by John Coltrane. Jesus. Then "The Rubber Room" by Porter Wagoner.
Never heard of it.
Better fella in a psychiatric hospital. "The Rubber Room."
I can just imagine.
And then ooh, 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 I'm on fire.
Hey, little girl, is your daddy home? Did you go and leave you all alone? I got a bad desire. Ooh, 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 I'm on fire.
And then I went down to the hazelwood because a fire was in my head. I cut and peeled the hazel wand and hooked a berry to a thread. And when white moths were on the ground, mutt-like stars were flickering out. And I hooked a little silver throat. That is Christy Moore.
Yeah,
the song
you sound
Wandering
like him.
Angus. And then I went to be Leonard Cohen. Passing through.
A lot of emotion here.
Sometimes happy, sometimes blue. Glad that I ran into you. Yeah. Tell the people that you saw me passing through. And then I went into there's a trad song by a fantastic fiddler by the name of Kevin Burke called It's Zekiel, and it's an old Jewish folk tune and it's fucking beautiful. And then
such a potpourri. I mean,
fuck me, Pink.
And then to finish off, I went down to the Buddhists down in Snaity, near Six Mile Bridge. Namo Tasso Vagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhasa.
Some trip you'll have on that.
Namo Tasso Vagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhasa. Namo Tasso Bhagavato.
Larita, please, not on the third verse. This is an incantation.
Arahato Samba Sambuddhasa. That's my playlist.
Four boys sitting outside Centre after plastering the wall.
They love
that.
That, won't they?
Tommy, very interesting. It's up. We get that up on THL.
That's going to be at large.
Namo Sato Vikora. I brought her down to the back of the barn.
Hazelwood.
And I laid her on the bale of straw at the back of the cantina.
It's been an absolute pleasure talking to you today. And I hope you've enjoyed the show and up Mayo.
Can we just say to the people of Mayo, we are here for you on this podcast all times of the day and night.
Thank you.
Of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hello, everybody. It's Tommy Tiernan here. So just a reminder that we have opened up a merchandise store, THL merchandise store, and we're selling jumpers. And is that what they call jumpers?
Jerseys. No, jerseys.
We're calling jerseys and hoodies.
Jumpers. They're not
and
jumpers.
Mugs. And what we're using is we're using the names that you've suggested for the football teams, and we've created some merchandise there. So we hope you like it and buy it for someone that you love. Go to thlpod.com/forward/merch for more.